BP puts a price tag on the spill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico will cost BP $32 billion. That's what the company said this morning. BP also confirmed Tony Hayward will step down as CEO in October to be replaced by American Bob Dudley. Marketplace's Stephen Beer joins us live this morning. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
You have seen BP's earnings report this morning. What does that balance sheet look like?
It looks better than expected. I mean, if we close our eyes for a minute and forget about the Gulf of Mexico, the company made an underlying profit, $5 billion in the second quarter, much more than the same period last year.
Yeah, if only we could forget, Stephen. Unfortunately, BP can't forget that spill. How big a hit is it to the company's finances?
Well, it has turned the profit in the second quarter into a huge loss, but still it's better than expected. The company has set aside $32 billion to cover all its costs, as you've pointed out. That includes the $20 billion it's already paid into the escrow account. Now, BP concedes that figure could get higher, but it's still way short of the $100 billion that some doomsayers were predicting. Jason Kenney of the Dutch bank ING says on the basis of today's numbers and announcements, BP is in fair shape.
Taken in context, it's a positive trading outlook for the company, a reinvigorated company with a new strategy, a new CEO, and the worst news now in play for the company on a financial basis.
He says BP could, in 4 or 5 years' time, regain its position as Britain's most valuable company, and it is no longer a takeover target. But, and there's always a but, this does assume BP's got that $32 billion cost of the spill correct, and that there isn't another big disaster somewhere else in the BP empire.
Didn't think we'd be hearing the words BP and reinvigorated this morning. Stephen Beard, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Okay, so that giant financial reform law that President Obama signed last week, will it actually solve anything? That is the issue regulators are addressing today at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports critics are focusing on the law's loopholes.
The financial reform bill is nearly 2,500 pages long, but Boston University economist Lawrence Kotlikoff says it doesn't really pack a punch.
We need an FDA for the financial sector. We're not getting that. This legislation gives Wall Street a license to redo what it just did to Main Street.
Kotlikoff says banks have already found major loopholes for much of the regulation, including stricter rules meant to limit banks' trading activities. And he says the reform bill left most of the actual reform up to regulators.
So we don't have the plumbing of the system yet.
Tom Higgins is chief economist at Payden & Riegel.
They've established a lot of regulatory agencies. They have these broad principles on what they'd like to accomplish with the reform. The question is how it works in practice.
Higgins says the bill is powerful and the reforms are going to transform the banking industry, but
it's probably going to take the better part of the next couple years before we know that.
Higgins says regulators need to write hundreds of rules before the process is finished. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Wall Street's been getting along just fine lately. Let's do the numbers. European shares are higher this morning after some good-looking earnings from Germany's Deutsche Bank and a survey showing German consumers feeling more optimistic. Yesterday, after FedEx gave its rosy forecast and the government said new home sales jumped, the Dow Industrials jumped as well by triple digits. That's the third session in a row the Dow has pulled off that triple-digit feat. This jump was a 100-point gain with a close of 10,525.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
Some people in India are seething over a recent court ruling that many say resulted in light sentences for Union Carbide executives convicted in the 1984 gas leak in Bhopal that killed as many as 15,000 people. Many Indians believe the long-awaited punishment says less about justice than about the slow pace of India's court system. Reporter Raymond Thibodeau has more.
Most Indians are used to delayed justice thanks to a colossal backlog of cases. A Delhi High Court judge estimated it would take 466 years to catch up with the backlog in Delhi alone.
Since I am aware of
the Indian judicial system, it doesn't surprise me at all. The Indian judicial system is very lethargic.
Prashant Bhushan is director for the Campaign for Judicial Accountability. He says 466 years is an exaggeration, but still it would take a few decades. He says roughly half the cases are nullified every year as citizens, flustered by long waits for their day in court, give up on their lawsuits or die.
We have a judicial system
in this country that exists on paper. In practice, not even 1% of the citizens of this country can ever hope to get justice through the system.
Bhushan says one of the biggest problems is there aren't enough judges. Hiring delays have led to a 25% vacancy rate for judges. But the country's court system has improved in recent years. That's according to Nashad Ahmad Khan. He heads India's Young Lawyers Association. What does he see as the biggest advance?
Centralized computerization system. That has made the entire system more transparent.
He says a centralized database is steadily replacing India's centuries-old pen and ledger system of judicial record keeping. A new government website will eventually link the country's courts and create a database to track judgments and status of cases. Now, instead of having to go to the courts and sort through dusty stacks of ledgers, Khan can track cases from his laptop. And as a spin-off benefit of the new system, he says younger, more tech-savvy lawyers have an edge.
Young lawyers are doing better than the old lawyers. Because of the information technology, the old lawyers, they are more prone to the old system of going through the books, but we can find it within a click of the button.
Still, despite the changes, both Bhushan and Khan agree that corruption is still a persistent glitch in the system, even down to the court clerks who sometimes take bribes to misplace a file or two. They say problems like that can't be fixed by a click of the mouse. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
And finally, search engines are great at using computer algorithms to answer your questions. Now, Ask.com is tapping the power of social networking by letting users submit search questions to each other. A clear case of outsourcing. Humans doing the work computers are unable or unwilling to do. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.